Good morning, Boker Tov. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to make a start promptly. We have a lot to get through today. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the academic year 2025. The Shirim is sponsored by Ilu Nishmois, Brana Bas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kalman, Zichronim Livrocha. We're very grateful for the sponsorship, and please could I remind you to turn off your phones, which is our customary request, which is customarily not always followed. So if we could just do that, that would be really great. Okay, so I promised you last week that I was going to revisit or look anew into certain areas. One of them was Shabbos. We haven't talked about Shabbos really in the Shir for a long time. And I'd like to talk about some Shabbos issues. Also some medical ethical issues, which we'll get to over the course of the summer, please God. Again, we haven't, it's honestly years and years since we've done anything of that nature, and there's so much to talk about. So I wanted to start off with a topic which we haven't looked at for a good 7 years, and there's a lot more that I had to say about it now, which is the issue of making early Shabbos. It brings with it many, many fascinating halachic questions, not just on the issue of davening, but around the whole concept of accepting Shabbat. What does that mean? And I'd like to look at them with you today. I actually made a few extra, put a few extra sources on the sheet since I gave this in. So we'll stick more or less with the sheet that you have here, but the one I'll upload to the OU will be a little bit even further revised. A few extra things. So let's start at the very beginning. Why do we accept early Shabbos in the summertime? Because we live in the Northern Hemisphere, even Israel, which is not that far in the Northern Hemisphere. Shabbos comes in already quite late, 7:30. By the time you sit down to eat, it's 9 o'clock. People who have young children, they're already past their prime long before then. And certainly people who live in the further north, people who live in England, just in England itself, in London, Shabbos, if you lit at the regular Shabbos candle time, it would be 9 o'clock, 9:15. Already in Scotland, it's even later. In Oslo, the summer lighting time is around 10:25 in the evening right now. And if you're someone that lives in Alaska, where there are Jews in Alaska, in Anchorage and even in Fairbanks, then it gets a little bit ridiculous. So the reason that we accept early Shabbos, honestly, for most people, is convenience. Nobody wants to eat a meal at 10 o'clock at night. And that's going to be an important factor. Because if I'm accepting Shabbat just because it's more convenient for my eating schedule, is that the same as accepting Shabbat because I want to bring in its Kedusha earlier, because I want to extend its Kedusha? That's honestly not why most of us make early Shabbat, and then we'll see that that's relevant as well. So let's start from source number one. The world was created in a way that it describes first the evening and then the morning. Vayikra lokim la'or yom, ulachoshek kara layla, vayhi erev, vayhi voker yom echad. And therefore we understand that the day begins in the erev, and it's first of all it's erev, and then it's boker. So our new day begins at sunset, let's say, around the erev, and it ends at sunset. Now, just in parentheses, that's not the only way to read that verse. And you should just know, and this is a topic which I don't think we've ever discussed, but the Rashbam got into very difficult situations with his pshat explanation on that pasuk. The Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, says no, on a pshat level, surely it means vayhi erev, it became evening, vayhi voker, and once it became morning, yom echad. That was the end of the first day, which actually when you read it like that, you think, why did I not think of that before? And therefore he says on a pshat level, the day begins in the morning. Sunrise. The Jewish day goes sunrise to sunrise. Now he's not suggesting that halachically. So I should take that back. It's not the Jewish day. But the pshat in the posuk could be that. Halachically he agrees it's evening to evening. And the very fact that he even suggested anything else caused a major uproar, especially with the Ibn Ezra. I don't know if you've ever read the Ibn Ezra's Igeret HaShabbat, but the Ibn Ezra who lived the generation or so after, more or less the same generation as the Rashbam, he was very friendly with Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam's older, younger brother, I should say. So the Ibn Ezra writes in his commentary that he was asleep at night on a Friday night I think he was in London at the time, actually. I think he writes he was in London. And a dream came into his head, and an angel who was identified herself as Shabbat presented it to him, presented themselves to him, and said that you have heretical books on your shelf about the Shabbat. And the Ibn Ezra was in a tumult in his dream. He ran downstairs and he looked for this book, and he saw it was the Rashbam's commentary. And he said he wanted to rip it to pieces, even though it was Shabbat, because he was so incensed that he realized that this heretical statement was in. And he writes a whole long, very dramatic letter about how he felt verkocht. I don't think he would have said that word, about the idea that this was even a suggestion. But I just bring that to you as an interesting tidbit, as it were. For the Ibn Ezra, he was very upset about it. And he goes to the issue of what is pshat, and how does the Rashbam understand pshat different to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is less likely to go against a received halachic approach than the Rashbam is in terms of how he understands Pshat. That's not for now, though. There's much more to talk about. So let's take the day begins in the evening and ends in the evening. Now, when it comes to Shabbat, or Yom Kippur, I should say, which we'll see flows over into Shabbat, we'll see number two. Shabbat Shabbaton hu lachem. The Yom Kippur is a special day of Shabbat. The initim et nafshoteichem, you have to afflict yourselves. We're not getting into what that is now, but here's the key. B'tisha l'chodesh ba'erev. You have to start this process on the 9th, in the evening. Me'erev ad erev, from evening to evening. Tishbetu Shabbatchem. Again, it's clear the day goes from evening to evening. But what's he talking about the 9th? Why do I even need to know the 9th? Gemara, quite well known. Gemara number 3, the Inita Met Nashotechem Betisha Lachodesh, Yachel Yatchel V'Yitane Betisha. You might have thought I have to start fasting on the 9th, because it says Yom Kippur is on the 9th. Talmud Lama Be'erev, the Torah says no, it's in the evening. Iba Erev, if it's in the evening, Yachel Mishitech Shach, maybe I only have to start fasting once it's properly the 10th. It's really nighttime. Talmud Lama Betisha, no, that's also the 9th. You have to somehow straddle those two realities. Hakeisad, how does that work? Matchil umit'ane mibe'od yom. You have to start fasting already when it's still the 9th and go into the 10th and through the whole of the 10th. Mikan, from here, it says, the Gemara shemosifi michol ala kodesh. There is a mitzvah to be mosif from chol to kodesh. I want to take a little bit of the day before, and we'll see a little bit of the day after, and make them extra kodesh. Even though maybe God didn't require that, I want to do that more. The Einli Ela B'Knisasa, that's only when the Yom Kippur comes in. V'Yitziyasa Minalan. How do I know the same is true? I have to take a little bit from the 11th and make it Kodesh. Talmud Loma Mi'erev Ad Erev. From this evening all the way to next evening. The Einli Ela Yom Kippurim, this only applies, this verse, to Yom Kippur. Shabbos Ismi 9. How do I know Shabbos as well? Talmud Loma Tishbetu. It gives the extra word tishbetu. Einli ela shabbosos yomim tovim minalan. How do I know this applies to Yom Tov as well? Talmud loma shabbatchem. An extra word. Haketzed. How does this work? Final bottom line underlined. Kol makom sheneh b'shvut. Whenever it says shvut, there's a mitzvah of shvut. Yom Kippur, Chag, Shabbos. Mosifim michol ala kodesh. You have to add a little bit from the chol and make it kodesh. Okay. Now, what is not included in that list? We have Yom Kippur, we have Shabbos, and we have Yom Tov. They all say Shavuos. So Tisha B'Av, interestingly, there's a rabbinic fast. There's no reason in theory to add anything on. But also, what about Rosh Chodesh? Is there any idea of Tosefet Rosh Chodesh? And the answer is no. No, Rosh Chodesh is not described as Shvut. So why do I care? Well, what happens if Shabbos is on Rosh Chodesh and I want to make early Shabbos? And I'm davening early on Friday afternoon. In terms of Shabbos, that's fine. I can daven early. But can I say Yalev Yavo in Mariv? And like, I want to add on to Rosh Chodesh. There's no concept of adding on to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is when Rosh Chodesh is. It's not the day before. That's one interesting question. And there are some people who make early Shabbos who won't make early Shabbos when Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. For that reason, that it doesn't apply apparently to them. Okay, we're only just starting. The Orach Chaim, I brought you in number 4, I'm not going to read it inside, but he says, maybe that's why we use the phrase la'asot et ha-shabbat. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'asot. In what way do we make Shabbos? And it's interesting, in English, we use that phrase, I'm making Shabbos, which is obvious to us, but it's actually, I think, from this pasuk. How do we make Shabbos? He says, maybe this is what we add on. Meaning God makes the Shabbos on the seventh day, and we add on a bit from the sixth, a bit from the eighth, and in that way God gives a haskama and says, okay, that can also be Shabbos. The question is it really Shabbos? If I want to bring in Shabbos early or take out Shabbos late, what if I want to take out Shabbos like 4 hours later, you know, in the night, and just sing at a kumzitz? Is it really Shabbos? 9 o'clock on Saturday night, you know, when Shabbos went out at 7:30? Is it really? So we'll see. What does it mean that it is Shabbos? How do we do that? Etc. By the way, taking out Shabbos late has another resonance, because there is a source, the Achronim add, that we have a tradition that the Neshamas are in Gehenim, and they get a respite on Shabbos. I don't exactly know what this means. It sounds like a good thing, whatever it is, that you get a little bit of a respite from Gehenna on Shabbos. So the longer we can draw out Shabbos, the better it'll be for those, you know, the Neshamas that are getting that kind of day off. We can make it a little bit longer for them. That sounds like a good thing to help other people for sure. Hopefully we won't need that help when the time comes. Okay, fine. However, it's not so posh. And there's a source which I actually didn't bring you on the sheet, but I just want to read before we get to source number five, which is a Gemara in Moed Katan. And the Gemara actually says, Gemara Shabbos, Shabbos, Mishabbos, Breshis. It compares Shemitah with Shabbos. This is not on your sheet, but I'm going to read it to you. The Gemara says there in Moed Katan, Ma lahalan hi asura lefaneho la'achreha. Just like we find with Shabbat, the prohibition is not before and afterwards. Sorry, malahalan hi asura. It is prohibited. Lefaneha ulacharea mutarim, but before and afterwards is not prohibited. Afkan so too with Shemitah, hi asura, it is prohibited. Lefaneha ulachareha mutarim, but before and afterwards is not. So the Gemara in Moed Katan seems to say, no, Shabbos is Shabbos. Before Shabbos is not prohibited. After Shabbos is not prohibited. Shabbos is just what Shabbos is. And therefore you have these two Gemaras which seem to contradict each other. One of them in, we saw in Yuma, says that you have to add on. And the other one in Moed Katan says that apparently you do not have to add on. And we'll have to work out how we're going to paskin on this issue. Why would we add on to Shabbos? Rashi says on Brachos in chapter 2 very clearly, because we don't necessarily know in the same way that God does exactly when the day begins. We have Bein HaShemashos. We have a twilight zone. I'm sure there's something deep and philosophical with this as well. God has clear black and white lines. We don't have those lines, so we're just on the safe side. We add a little bit to Shabbos so that we don't want to impinge on that line, even though God doesn't need to sefer Shabbos. We need to sefer Shabbos, although the Ran seems to say something else, that we add on for extra reasons of Kedusha. So you can pick those reasons either to on the safe side or to be Mosif Kedusha, etc. There's clearly an idea that applies. Now let's look at number five. So do we do this? So the Gemara makes an interesting statement. I'm a Rabbi Yosei. So Rabbi Yosei says, Yehei chelki, I want my portion to be mimachnisei Shabbos betveria umimotzai Shabbos betzipori. If only I could be someone that brings in Shabbos in Tiberias, but takes out Shabbos in Tzipori. Now, Tiberias to Tzipori is just about walkable on Shabbos. And there are sources that say it was in the Tchum. There were enough little villages in between that you could. Why would you want to bring in Shabbos in Tiberias and take out Shabbos in Tzipori? So the Mefarshim explain two things. Number one, Tiberias is very low down, and therefore the sun disappears way earlier from Tiberias than it does on the hills. And therefore, the sun's going down, I'll bring in Shabbos early. Obviously, if you live next to a big mountain, you don't need to bring Shabbos in the minute the sun disappears behind the mountain. It could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But nevertheless, it's going to be earlier. And Tzipori's on the hills, and you can see Shabbos, the sun, a little bit later, so you'll take out Shabbos later. So that's the idea, bring it in earlier, bring it out later. Maybe it's an east-west thing. Tiberias is in the east, so Shabbos will come in that few seconds earlier, and then I'll run to Tzipori a little bit to the west, and I'll take out Shabbos. The same idea that we want to bring it in a little bit earlier, we want to take it out a little bit later. And in fact, this is the halacha. Let's look at Shulchan Aruch. We're going to have a lot of halacha lemaisa. Shulchan Aruch rules this halacha. Number six. He says, Yesh Omrim. There is an opinion. Shitzarech lahosif michol el hakodesh. That you have to add on from chol to kodesh. What does he mean, Yesh Omrim? There is an opinion. So it's interesting because we all follow this opinion. Why does it start with a Yesh Omrim? So the Mefarshim say, because the Rambam never brings this halacha. And that's one of the mysteries in the Rambam. He never quotes the halacha anywhere until Sefet Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch, who at the end of the day is a Rambam devotee, Even though he paskens like the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Rif, it's really the Rambam. The Rambam is king, not Elvis, okay, the Rambam. Therefore, he paskens like the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say it. Yesh Omrim. But that just raises the question, why doesn't the Rambam say it? So some people say, well, because the Rambam holds it's not a Torah mitzvah, it's a rabbinic mitzvah. Okay, Shkayach, he brings all the rabbinic laws in the Mishnah Torah, that's not a reason to leave it out. And there are some people that want to say, no, the Rambam paskened like that Gemara in Moed Katan that you didn't have on your sheet. But no, Shabbos is when Shabbos is, and beforehand and afterwards is not prohibited, and therefore the Rambam and the Torah may be paskened like that. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. He brings down that we do keep to Sefer Shabbos. V'zman to Sefer Shabbos hi mitzchila hashkia she'ein Hashem ish nireh. Now look at this carefully, because it's not what you think. So says the Shulchan Aruch, when do you add on? From when the sun goes down and is no longer visible, Al Ha'aretz, on the earth, ad Zman Bein HaShmoshes, until Bein HaShmoshes begins. That's when you can add on. Now, that's not how we do it. Because as far as we're concerned, once the sun's disappeared, it's too late. It's already Shabbos. You can't add on. It's too late to add on. And this raises the question that we're going to dive into next week, which is the Shulchan Aruch, together with most Rishonim, held like Rabbeinu Tam, not like we do today. Now, you'll have all heard of Rabbeinu Tam, that there are people who take out Shabbos late. Well, I've got news for you. Rabbeinu Tam also brought in Shabbos late. He rules later than we do. He rules as follows. We're used to thinking, and we'll see the Vilna Gaon paskens this way, we'll get into this next week, that the twilight zone begins when the sun goes down, and it lasts for 3/4 of a mil, which is, let's say, about 13 or 14 minutes. That's the twilight zone. Rabbeinu Tam said, no. There's another Gemara that says the Bein HaShmoshes is not 3/4 of a mil, but is 4 mil, which is 72 minutes. How does that work? So the Bein HaTam says, when the sun goes down, that's the beginning of the process, but it's not really Shkia. There's another 3/4 mil. Now, if a mil is 18 minutes, 3 1/4 times 18 is, a lot. Yeah, 60-something, it doesn't have over an hour, it's around an hour, before you even get into the twilight zone. According to Rabbeinu Tam, who held he held at the beginning and the end of Shabbos, you could be driving your car 45 minutes after the sun's gone down, and you're not even in a Suffolk zone. 45 minutes, 50 minutes. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskens like that, which is not surprising, because that was Rov Rishonim. And he says that when you add on, it's from when the sun goes down until the start of Bein HaShmoshes around an hour later. Now, there's almost nobody left that does this. Chabad don't do this. The Anshinovas, maybe, whatever. You don't see people driving their cars with payas flying in the wind 45 minutes after the sun goes down. Now, the question is, if most of the Rishonim paskan that way, why on earth do we not all keep Rabbeinu Tam on the way out? Meaning we can be machmir as we like on the way in, but when we make Havdalah at the end of Shabbos, we're breaking Shabbos according to Rabbeinu Tam and Rov Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. It's a pella. Therefore, the people who keep Rabbeinu Tam are not some crazy frumas who want to keep this weird chumrah. They're actually apparently following a very mainstream position. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't keep Rabbeinu Tam. I'm not trying to guilt trip you into keeping Rabbeinu Tam. But it is a very, very sensible chumrah. And they're machmir at the beginning. Very few people, if anybody, is lenient at the beginning and as well. They're machmir at the beginning and they're machmir at the end. Because we don't basically paskin like Rabbeinu Tam at the beginning, but why would you not be choshesh for Rabbeinu Tam at the end? Anyway, so that's when the Shulchan Aruch says you should add on. And again, we'll see we don't do this. The Hazman Hazeh, in number 6 still, Rotzeh la'asot kula tosefet, if you want to make it all tosefet Shabbos, oseh, you can. Rotzeh la'asot mimenu miktzat, if you want to make a little bit of it tosefet Shabbos, then you can also can, it's up to you, oseh. As long as you add on a time which is vadayom, which as I said for him is even after the sun goes down, but not for us, michol al hakodesh. You have to add some time which is definitely chol to kodesh. Now, it's actually very interesting. How much is some time? Now, let's assume now that we're not going to follow Rabbeinu Tam because we don't, and when the sun goes down, that's definitely the beginning of Shabbos, not like Rabbeinu Tam. So how much do you have to add on? A minute? 2 minutes? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Is there a specific time that you have to add on? Does anything do? So let's have a little look now. Look in Mishnah Berurah, number 7. The Eze Uzman, what does the Mishnah Berurah say? The Lai Sagiba Hoysafa Kol Shehu. It doesn't mean a second. You can't just keep your eye on your watch and like, oh, I'll wait 5 seconds before the sun goes down and I won't do any malacha. No. You need a little bit more than that. It has to be something tangible. V'shir ha-tosefet im bein ha-shmoshes. And if you add together what you add on before Shabbos, together with bein ha-shmashot, which we'll say like it's 13 or 14 minutes after sunset, not like Rabbeinu time, we'll assume like we go. Be'yachad ole kim'at chetzi shah. Around half an hour. So he's saying basically around 15, 20 minutes before the sun goes down, which together with the 13, 14 minutes after sunset, which is our twilight zone, that's good enough. Around a half an hour. And that's more or less where the minhagim are. So 18 minutes, 20 minutes, again, before the sun sets, which together with Ben Hashmoshes will get you to around about half an hour. Which we'll talk about a little bit in a minute as to how that works. I brought you in a footnote here that Rav Moshe Feinstein says at least 2 minutes, meaning ideally 20 minutes or so, but at least 2 minutes, the Avenezer says 4 minutes, others say 5 minutes. Again, you should really be bringing in Shabbos at candle lighting time, because that's the advised time. But if you are running a little bit to the wire, you can add on a little bit, as long as it's 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, rather than a few seconds. When you accept Shabbos, do you have to do it verbally? Does there have to come a point when you say, okay, I'm ready, I accept Shabbos, or not? So there is a three-way machlokas on this. Some people say, yes, you have to. You have to at some point say verbally, I am now accepting Shabbos. And these are the minhagim that we have of Kabbalah Shabbos. Where does Kabbalah Shabbos come from? If you'd gone to the Rambam and said, like, what tunes do you sing for Kabbalah Shabbos? Even if you said Kabbalat Shabbat, he wouldn't have known what you were talking about. They didn't have Kabbalat Shabbat. They just have Ma'ariv. We have Kabbalat Shabbat so that we can run into Shabbat and add on to Shabbat. And therefore, when we say Bo'i Chala in Lecha Dodi, that's Kabbalat Shabbat. Or at least Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat, that's Kabbalat Shabbat. The problem that we have, though, is the way we run our shul timetables is that's usually way after the sun's gone down. By the time you get to Mincha, and most people are late for Mincha, and by the time you've davened Mincha, done Chazaras HaShatz, saying all the Kalbach Nigunim in the world, okay? And then you get to Bo'i Chala, it's like, you know, way too, it's probably Vada'in Laila. So there are people that want to say, no, you should make a point of yourself being Makabel Shabbos when you finish Mincha, even after the silent Shemona Esrei, if it's like you look at your watch and say, look, time is moving on, and then that's good. The only thing you need to be careful about doing is not being Makabel Shabbos before you daven Mincha, because then you're really stuffed, because then you can't daven Mincha. It's Shabbos. Once you accept Shabbos, it's Shabbos. Now, can you unaccept Shabbos? We'll get to that in a minute. But before you daven Mincha, that's why there are people, especially the Yekkers amongst us, who will not say Shabbat Shalom before they daven Mincha. Because if they say Shabbat Shalom, maybe that is enough to say, good Shabbos, oy vey, I've lost my Mincha. Okay? Now, that's already a little bit on the strict side. You should know Rav Yoel ben Nun is makpid before Mincha to say Shabbat le Shalom, and after Mincha to say Shabbat Shalom. He doesn't do anything without having thought it through very, very carefully, okay? And I asked him once, was this Shabbat l'shalom? He says, well, I don't want to lose my mincha, you know, etc., etc. There are others that say, no, as long as it's mental, that's okay, a mental acceptance, or maybe even just a passive, I'm not doing any malacha. So even if you never explicitly said it, it's probably okay, yeah.
You talk about 20 minutes, what about the Minhag
Yerushalayim? Good. So the Minhag Yerushalayim actually is there for another reason, which we'll see in a minute when we get to that. One other thing I just wanted to say, in Alon Shvud, Rav Rimon, I don't know if he introduced it, but at the, before we daven Kabbalah Shabbos, we sing a song, V'zakeini l'kabel et Shabbatot, Barov Simcha, and the reason we sing that song is so that we can all be Makabel Shabbos before Shkia, so that everybody can actually do that. Sometimes you think that's a nice song, why are we doing it? The reason is very specific. Okay, let's go on. Source number 8. The Mishnah Berurah says, Ulefizeh, from what we've said, You have to be very careful not to do any malacha once the sun has set. Even for a mitzvah, you can't do it. Kagoyin had lakas neiros, you can't light candles once the sun's gone down. Lesuda Shabbos, you can't make Shabbos, you can't cook. Once the sun's gone down, you've really missed it. You have to finish all the malacha before the sun goes down. Because then you're into the twilight zone, and that's not good. He said, good advice, which I don't always get to follow myself. Don't leave it till the last minute, he says. Look, when the sun is in the tops of the trees, that should be a sign to you that it's nearly Shabbos. You shouldn't still be on your computer, okay? As my wife would tell me, it's time, okay? Someone who wants to be machmir, uporesh atzmon mimalacha chetzi shah, or akoponim shlish shah kodim shkia. He's adding on a little bit more now. Maybe not just 30 minutes, including Ben Hashemoshes, but a half an hour before the sun goes down, which will be like your 40 minutes, including Ben Hashemoshes, okay? Or at least 20 minutes before the sun goes down. Ashrei loy. Because then you can be Yotze according to everybody, and therefore you end up with this now sort of the inflation of how long you have to keep before Shabbos. 18 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, even 40 minutes. Interesting, the 40-minute concern, the minhag of Yerushalayim, is because there are those that say you should wait a half a halachic hour before Shkia. And in the summertime, a halachic hour, dividing between, you know, we'll see morning and night, we'll see what that is more than 60 minutes. So half a halachic hour will come up to more like 40 minutes of regular time. That's really where 40 minutes comes from. Next week we'll talk about the Shita of the Yireim, which we're not going to get into now because it'll take us too far. We still have a lot to do. Okay, fine. Is Tosefes Shabbos really Shabbos? I make early Shabbos. I come home from shul. It's still light. We make kiddush. Is it really Shabbos? Or am I kind of... It's as if it's Shabbos. I've taken on myself that I'm keeping Friday ke'ilu that it's Shabbos.
You all have to walk back from shul and see all these people driving.
Right? Correct. So is it really Shabbos? So let's have a look at number 9. So number 9 is a very interesting thing. Yochel lo yehei b'chlal oynesh. Okay? You might think that the area, the time of the you added on is not in the prohibition. It's like not chayv kares maybe. Aval yehi musar atosefet malacha. But it's actually a lav. It's a negative mitzvah. You might say that the negative mitzvah of not doing malacha has already kicked in when I add on to Shabbos. He says no, not even. Talmud loyma v'chol malacha lo tasu be'etzem hayom hazeh. When it comes to the iser of malacha on Shabbat. Not only the chiyuv of kores, but the issa, the prohibition of malacha, the etzem hayom hazeh, alitzumo shel yom hu muzhar. The actual negative prohibition not to do malacha is when it's definitely Shabbos, not what you add on. The einu muzhar tosefet malacha, and not what you add on to. So, what is the status of that time that I've added in? I brought in Shabbos an hour and a half before. It's not actually Shabbos. So there are two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is that there is a separate mitzvah of adding on Kedusha. That's the mitzvah I'm doing. I have now done the mitzvah of, and some people say it's a Torah mitzvah, of adding on to Shabbos, and that's why I'm bound by it. It's a separate mitzvah. It's got nothing to do with Shabbos itself directly, the malacha, but it's another mitzvah. By the way, this raises the question, are women obligated in Tosefet Shabbat? So you'll say, well, of course they are, because women are obligated in all the dinim of Shabbos. Yes, women are obligated in the dinim of Shabbos, but they're not obligated in the dinim of Friday, necessarily. Let's say it's a positive time-bound mitzvah to add on Friday. Okay, well, that's not part of the Shabbos package. It's a positive time-bound mitzvah. It's a little bit like the discussion about Havdalah. Are women obligated in Havdalah? And there are many women who are very careful to ask a man to make Havdalah. Why? Because is Havdalah a din in Shabbat? In which case, women are part of the package. Everyone who's in Shabbat is in for a penny, in for a pound, as they say in the Gemara. Okay? So women are obligated in that. But if Havdalah is part of Motzei Shabbat, it's a positive mitzvah you do on Saturday night, well, it's a positive time-bound mitzvah. Women will not be obligated by that. It's a Saturday night mitzvah, not a Shabbos mitzvah. The same is Tosefet Shabbat. What is the status? So maybe it's a separate mitzvah. Let's assume women are obligated, which is what most poskim say. So what is it? So maybe it's this extra mitzvah. Maybe it's a neder. Maybe I made a neder I'm going to behave as if it's Shabbat. And that's really binding on a positive, in a positive mitzvah. I'm not, I have a mitzvah to keep my neder. But once you say that, then it raises some interesting questions. What if I change my mind? What if I bring in early Shabbos, and then I realize, oy vey, I've forgotten to do something really important, and can I run to the Rav down the road and get Hataras Nedarim? Can I put together a little base din? Okay, I need three people. I've taken on Shabbos. I need three men. I want to untake Shabbos. Can I do Hataras Nedarim? And then it's oy Shabbos. If it's a neder, then why not? If it's a neder, can the husband be mefir the neder of the wife? Hafarat Nedarim. If the wife makes a neder, on the day that the husband can, hears about it, he can annul it as long as it's something that affects the marriage. So she says, she lights candles, she says, good Shabbos, everybody, and she thinks, oh, there, I forgot to put the potatoes in. Okay? Can the husband say, don't worry, darling, mufralach, 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 you're all finished, you're all gone, do the potatoes, we've got to eat potatoes on Shabbos, and then light candles afterwards. Or is that just not possible? What's that?
Why can't
you put it? Oh, I never even thought of that. That never even occurred to me. That is an entirely different shir. Okay. Interestingly, every woman in this room was thinking that, and every man in this room is thinking, yeah, can he be made for the neder? That's a good question. Yes.
When my husband took on early minion,
yes,
I waited until I had to.
Good, so we'll get to that. When the husband takes on early Shabbos, that does not bind the wife to take on early Shabbos. But we're asking something a bit different. When she takes on Shabbos, can he be made for the neder? There was a case in Yerushalayim many years ago where a baby was meant to have its bris on Friday. Okay? And the moel came, looked at the baby, and said, the baby is yellow. There's no bris. You can't have the bris on Friday. We'll do it on Sunday. Fine. Then the moel later on in the day was Makabel Shabbos. He brought in Shabbos. And somebody else, another moel, looked at the baby on Friday afternoon and said, the baby's fine. Today is Yom HaShmini. It's Friday. It's a Friday bris. Do the bris now. So they called the real moel, the moel that they'd agreed that they would do the bris with, and said, the baby's fine. Come, quick. We get it in. The mitzvah, Yom HaShmini. We can get it in before Shabbos. He said, I've already accepted Shabbos. It's already Shabbos. So they said, Well, one second. A bris overrides Shabbos. So even if you've already accepted Shabbos, you can still perform a bris on the eighth day. He said, no, a bris overrides Shabbos when it's Saturday Shabbos. A bris doesn't override Shabbos when it's Friday Shabbos that I've accepted early. He said, I'm not going to do it. And he didn't do it. And they did the bris on Sunday. Later they asked Rav Eliashiv, was this right? What should we have done? He says, no. The moel should have done Hataras Nedarim. We can pass it. It's a machlokas, he says, but we can assume that the Tosefis Shabbos is a neder. He'll do Hataras Nedarim. He'll be Ois Shabbos. He'll do the bris, and then he'll be Makabel Shabbos again. Very interesting. So, yes, sir.
So I think the whole question boiled down to when Makabel Shabbos early is just Shabbos for me, am I actually changing the status of the day?
Correct. And by the way, in many respects, we say you're not changing the status of the day. I brought you some interesting examples in the footnote. Even when you bring in Shabbos, it's still in many ways Friday. For example, if you forgot to count the Omer on Friday, and you've been Makabel Shabbos the next day, you've davened Ma'ariv even. Is it too late to count Friday's Omer? No, actually. Just because you're behaving as if it's Shabbos, maybe as a neder, maybe as a special mitzvah, it's still Friday on a certain level. You can still count the Omer. There are other things as well. For example, a woman forgot to do a Hefsek Tara, which could be quite important in terms of when she's going to mikveh. And then she says, oh yeah, I was Makabel Shabbos. Am I too late for Friday? No, you're not too late for Friday. If a woman sees bleeding in terms of counting her days, and it's after she's Makabel Shabbos, she can say, no, I started on Friday. And that can count my days from Friday. There are many examples of that nature. If a baby is born after Kabbalah Shabbos on Friday afternoon, right at the last minute before Shabbos, when is the bris? Friday. The baby's a Friday baby. Ah, everybody was Makabel Shabbos. It was before Shkia. The baby is a Friday baby. So even if you're Makabel Shabbos in many ways, that is still it's still Friday in some respects. Okay, how early can you be Makabel Shabbos? Let's go on. Source number 10. Says the Ramon, the imroitz lahakdim ulakabel alav haShabbos miplag haMincha ve'eilech haRishus b'yado. You have all the way back to plag haMincha, What is Plag HaMincha? So Plag HaMincha is 1 1/4 halachic hours before the end of the day. It's not very complicated. You divide the day, we'll see what the day means from into 12, from beginning to end, 12 halachic hours, 1 1/4 hours before the end, i.e. 10 3/4 hours into the day. That's Plag HaMincha. Then, from then on, you can accept Shabbos, but before then, you cannot accept Shabbos. Why not? Because before Plag HaMincha, you can't even daven Maariv. We'll get to that in a minute when we see that. And therefore, Plag HaMincha is the earliest you can ever say it is the next day. And the Mishnah Berurah says that's how we pasken. And therefore, if you were to bring in Shabbos before Plag HaMincha, and you need to check the times. If you're making early Shabbos, you need to check the times. Then it's nothing. We pasken, it's nothing. We'll see in a minute at Trumas HaDeshen, very interesting, which maybe say otherwise. But we say, sorry, you lit candles too early. You have to put them out and light again with the bracha. You daven Maariv too early. If you bring it, you have a Shabbos, early Shabbos at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No, sorry, it doesn't do anything. It's before Plag HaMincha. It's too late. And therefore, when we make these early Shabboses, the woman has, if she's lighting candles, she can't light candles before they go off to shul for early Shabbos because they're going to daven mincha, we'll see in a minute, before Plag HaMincha, and it's too early to be Makabel Shabbos. She has to wait a little bit. Like you said, she doesn't have to bring in Shabbos early just because he's doing early Shabbos.
Does she have to have the candles lit when he comes home?
Preferably. Rav Moshe says it's better that the candles are lit because it's not just for her, it's for the whole house, and he shouldn't come home from shul, good Shabbos everybody, and she's still running in the shower and, you know, lighting the candles. That's a little bit... It's not ideal, okay? I don't know if it's necessarily completely awesome, but it's not ideal. Nevertheless, she can't light the candles before Plag HaMincha. That's very important. I mentioned before, we'll come back to that. There are certain times when people don't want to make early Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh. There's no such thing as Tosefet Rosh Chodesh. What about a Yortzeit? Someone has Yortzeit on Shabbos. And they say, okay, we're making early Shabbos. Who said there's Tosefet Yortzeit? Meaning, if the Yortzeit's on Shabbos, the Yortzeit's on Shabbos. If he's going to daven from the Amud and say, I'm davening because, you know, it's my father's Yortzeit or something, then who says he can do that on Friday afternoon? It's not the Yortzeit. Oh, but I brought in Shabbos. Yeah, you brought in Shabbos. Are you going to say it affects the neshamas in Gehenna? Okay, so maybe for the neshama, let's say my father's not in Gehenna, okay? You know, he's somewhere else, so it doesn't bother him, so it's not Shabbos yet. Interesting. What about a bar mitzvah boy? The bar mitzvah boy is on Shabbos. Boy bayam. And they say to him, oh, psh, you'll daven Maariv for us. Can he make early Shabbos? I mean, the bar mitzvah is, there's no such thing as Tosefet bar mitzvah. There's Tosefet Shabbos, it's a Kedusha thing. Who says he can daven Maariv from the Amud as a 12-year-old? He's missing 2 or 3 hours, an hour. You're not bar mitzvah yet. Oh, but I brought in Shabbos, shkoyach. But does that mean you're 13? No, you're still 12, you know, in 364 and a half days. Yes.
Since you brought up the issue of Rosh Chodesh, when davening an early Maariv at Prague.
Yes.
As far as I know, people are knowing to yes say.
Yes, they do say a Yalev Yavah, correct.
Why would that be any different than saying Yalev Yavah?
Okay, good. I'm not saying it's definitely a problem. I'm saying there are people who hold. I believe it was Rav Jolty, I think, who said it's okay if you say it's, you know, but yeah, I put it in the footnotes. Okay, let's go on. I've got a lot I want to cover, and I certainly don't want to talk about this for 2 weeks. Okay, fine. Let's go on to source number 12. There's an interesting statement in source number 12. It says the Gemara, Rav Ikle Lebe Gneva, this was Rav's, another Chochem's house, he went to this other person's house, but Tzari Shil Shabbos for Erev Shabbos, and he davened early Shabbos. He made early Shabbos. Oh, if Rav can make early Shabbos, then I can make early Shabbos, right? Not so fast. Shma Mina, we learn from this, Mitpalim Adam Shil Shabbos for Erev Shabbos, we learn from this that it's possible to daven Maariv on Erev Shabbos early. Now Rashi says, Shekibel alav Shabbos min be'oid yom. Rashi understands that he's bringing in early Shabbos. He davened early on Shabbos. However, it's not so straightforward because it may be that he was just davening early because he always davened early. Meaning the story says he davened Maariv a little bit early on Friday. Well, maybe he also davened Maariv early on Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday and Sunday as well. When is the time for Maariv? When do you daven mincha? When do you daven Maariv? And that leads to a very interesting question. Look with me, please, in source number 15. So the Mishnah, when it comes to mincha and Maariv, says, Tfilat mincha ad ha'erev. Mincha is until nightfall. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad plag ha'mincha says, no, mincha is until plag ha'mincha. 3 1/4, an hour and a quarter before the evening. So that's the time. You have mincha all the way till the evening, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, mincha stops earlier. Tfilat ha'erev and mariv ein la kever. The Rambam explains, mariv used to be a reshut, used to be an optional tfilah. Still for women today, very few women daven mariv on a regular basis. It has a different status. So the Torah, the Mishnah there says, mariv doesn't have its own fixed time. Whenever mincha finishes, this man for mincha, that's when mariv starts. So there are two approaches. You can either daven mincha all the way till, let's say, sunset, and then mariv begins, or you can daven mincha till plag, an hour and a quarter before, and then mariv begins then. Can you mix and match? Can you say, well, I'll do a bit of this, and I'll do a bit of that, etc.? So the Gemara doesn't make a choice between these two. Look at number 17. Amar of Chizda. Nechzi Anon. We can see now. Midrav maslis of Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, mibe'oid yom. Since Rav davened early, we saw that he did this on Friday, either because it was special or because he always did that. Shmamina halachak Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says no, it's because he holds that mariv begins early. He would have done that on a Wednesday and a Tuesday and a Monday as well. Midrav hunav a rabbonim loyavi matzlo ad oritzah. But we see other rabbonim, other Amoraim, that would not daven early. They would only daven by nacht. Shmamina ein halachak Rabbi Yehuda. So that sounds like the halacha is not Rabbi Yehuda. You have to wait till nightfall for mariv. You can't daven from plag. So the Gemara says, what are we going to pask? And interestingly, hashda deloy itma hilchasel loy kamar veloy kamar. Since there's no decisive conclusion in the Gemara, either this way or that way, you get to choose. Da avad kamar avad. If you want to do like this view, you can do it. Da avad kamar avad. If you want to do like that view, you can do it. Meaning you get a choice. If you ever complain, I don't feel I have halachic choices in life, this is a choice. You can decide, I want a paskin that minchas till plag and mariv straight after that, or I want a paskin that minchas till nacht and mariv straight after that. You choose, it's your life. Shulchan Aruch, go to source number 18. Shulchan Aruch says, basically, I'll cut it short because I'm not going to have time to read all the long sources. The Shulchan Aruch says, you can choose, but you make a choice for life. You make a choice for life. You choose, the big moment as a bar mitzvah boy. What's it going to be then? You're going to go down mincha till nacht, or you're going to mincha till plag? And then you stick to it. And that's you for the rest of your life. He says, if you're in a pickle, and you realize that you've messed it up, and you've left it, you can, as an exceptional thing, you can go like the other opinion that day. But really, you've become an early man or a later man. And you have to make that choice. And he said, our minag is to wait until nacht to daven. The Ramah comes in and says, okay, I agree that you have to make a choice, but our minag is to daven mariv early. Now, the Ramah live further north, so presumably in Poland, they were not going to wait till nacht all the time to daven mariv. He says, but you still have to make a choice. Now, are we machmir like that? Do we say to people, okay, make a choice and subscribe, which you're going to do? The answer is no. We're not machmir like that. People can do one day like this, one day like this, one day like that. Sometimes they like to daven mincha gedola, they'll daven mincha at 2 o'clock, and the next day they'll say, okay, works me better to daven mincha katana, daven mincha at 6 o'clock. That's fine. We don't make you make a choice. But on the same day, you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't daven mincha late, after plag, and then say, you know what, I'll daven mariv early, before nacht. So you can't do that, because then you're paskin like nobody, because nobody says that. Nobody says you can do both. That's completely contradictory. Ah, but we do. We do. So the Mishnah Berura brings down and says it's not very good to do this. But when you have a minyan, and you certainly shouldn't do this if you're on your own, because you've got no excuse, you can always daven whatever you choose. But if you're in a minyan, and the only way you can get a minyan is by doing it at a time where it's like Tarti the Sasri, both of them, okay, that's the only way you can get a minion, that's the only way you can get a minion. And that's actually what happens in a lot of communities in Chutz Laretz. They daven every night at 7:30 or whatever it is. They daven mincha, they daven mariv, and mincha's after plag. Let's say plag is 7 and mariv is before nacht, and it's a big tumult. But that's the only way they're going to get a minion. More and more, the more yeshivish crowd is becoming more particular, that the mincha is exactly timed to be exactly before plag, and mariv is exactly after plag, or at least you time it in the shtibalach so that Mariv's at least after the sun goes down. It's at least in Bein HaShemoshes. And I've got a lot of people do that. But really, you shouldn't be mixing and matching. It's really not ideal. But that feeds into the whole Friday story as well. So why doesn't everybody make early Shabbos? It seems like a perfect thing to do. Because the Vilna Gaon was very against it. Have a look in source number 21. And then we'll see a beautiful Trumas HaDeshen, which I think you'll find very interesting. Says, this is the commentary of the Vilna Gaon on Shulchan Aruch. Tfilat Arev Bizmana. Dafka. He says you have to daven Maariv when it's dark. He doesn't like people davening early. Afilu b'Shabbos. Even if it's Shabbos. Afilu b'Yachid. Even if you're a Yachid. Now, if you live in the far north, that's quite inconvenient. I remember when I was in law school, I was in a place called Chester, and there was no minyan that davened earlier, and I was on my own. I'd have Maariv on my own every single night. And in the summer, it was like 10 o'clock, 10:15, 10:30. You know, I needed to get my beauty sleep and you know, go to bed. But we managed. But he says, that's why a lot of people turn around and said, no, you cannot daven Maariv earlier. You can only make Shabbos when Maariv is at Nacht, because generally speaking, and in Israel, I think they're very particular about that. Most places. It's very rare that you get a Maariv minyan before Nacht. Okay? It's almost always after Nacht, and that's how it works. Have a look at this Trumas HaDeshen with me, because I think this is a lot of fun. Number 22. The Trumas HaDeshen. He lived in Germany, in Central Europe, I think more in Austria, in the 15th century. And he says as follows. Shaila, number 22. When it's a long summer day, he says, around where we live, people are davening Shabbos 4 hours before Shabbos comes in. 4 hours. That's way, way, way before plague. Way before. He says, how can they be doing this? What's with Maariv and what's with the Shema? Meaning these people are saying the Shema hours before it gets dark. Are they saying the Shema again when they get home? Who knows? Maybe they're not. How can we justify this? Im yesh shum yishuv otam leminag zeh, ki gam harbe talmidei chachamim im hamoin av leminag zeh. Because I see talmidei chachamim doing it. You'd never get away with this today. Doing a Shabbos afternoon mincha, you know, at Maariv 4 hours before Shabbos comes in. But he says this. This is what's happening all around me. And look what he says. Tshuva. We have no way of explaining how they do this. Gimel or Dalet Shas. We don't know. When Rabbeinu Tam says, Plaga Mincha onwards, you can daven Maariv, Rabbi Yehuda, the Yotzim Azi de Krishma, and maybe you can even be Yotzi Shema. Now, we don't do this today, we repeat the Shema, but maybe you can argue that you can be Yotzi the Mitzvah of Shema, the nighttime Shema, even from plague. And we daven Maariv. That's from plague. Because of a Mordechi, okay, we follow Rabbeinu Tam. We live in Europe. And if you want to wait till Nacht, you look like a big frummer. So it's very interesting. He says, don't you cast aspersions on the fact that we daven Maariv early from plague, not earlier. And you say, I'm going to wait till nightfall. Mexiki Yura, it looks like you're frummer than the whole Ashkenazi population. And by the way, Rabbeinu Chananel said the same thing in North Africa. They used to daven earlier as well. And people who insist on davening Maariv late and make out that everybody else is wrong. How can you do this? You're all wrong. How can you turn around and say that Kehillah is wrong? That's called arrogance. It's religious arrogance. It's frumkeit in its worst sense. He says, you can't do that. Okay, but that's from plan. That's a whole different story. After the ellipsis. Imkein nirat de'ein liyashiv klal b'tam. You can't justify this minhag that we have in Austria based on the Talmud. It has to be from plaque. Eliyeh Shlomo, I'm going to try them. Because again, he's faced with a problem. There are Talmidei Chachomim in Austria who are davening early Shabbos 4 hours before it gets dark. And there's no basis for it. But I said, I've got to find some reason to justify it. Because how can everybody be wrong? So look what he says. So this is my try. Shaminag nishdariv al yidei atoshas koyach. People are very weak. Sheyarda la'olam. The whole world is very weak. I mean, it's interesting. Maybe after the Black Death, Taka. This is not so long after the Black Death. It says there's a lot of weakness in the world. V'roiv ha'amoin tavim. The Jews are hungry. V'reivim. They need their food. They're starving. This is like my grandmother wrote this tshuva, actually. But v'reivim le'echol ba'oid yom gadol. They need to eat on this Friday. They can't wait till this night. But yom arukim. It's the night time at 10 o'clock. V'im haya oichlin kodim mincha. If you tell people they can eat early and not make Shabbos yet. Hayashoyim ba'achila v'shtia v'lo yavol chalab b'bit knesset. They won't come to shul at all. Tell people, so have a bite to eat early and come later to shul. That's not happening. A bite to eat is the end of the day. No one's coming to shul. And that's why a lot of people don't want you to eat at all on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, because you're not going to come to shul. The inken loy have a sharp edam klalis oy tamid kodim tefillas mincha. So it won't work to daven tefillas to eat early. Umitoy kach loy haya koch letamid nechacham nifrosha amon, and therefore the scholars weren't able to stop the people imil had palel tefillat ariv likra et shema bebo'ed yom gadol. They people just did it because there's no other choice. Uvechia gavna ashekirina filu bedoyish v'shoinim, and he says there's even if it is for this, but you may rav haigon. Says Rav Haigon also writes that people used to make early Shabbos in Babylonia, maybe even two early Shabbos. And he says just the last three lines: "V'gam shamati b'yeshiva." I also heard once. He picked up a shmur in the yeshiva. Mipi echad me'agedolim, and it was from a reliable source. Sheshama, that he heard the kibbel ki yibiyameh kadmonim, that in the ancient days, maybe 100 or 200 years before this, was in the 1400s. Go back to the 1200s or so, what did they used to do? The Krems. Where's Krems? Krems is on the Danube. Okay? It's in Austria on the Danube. I looked it up. It's a little bit northwest of Vienna. Hitpalalu Arvis. They used to daven Mariv. Vekaru et Shmam be'erev Shabbos. And they davened Mariv and they said the Shmam erev Shabbos. Be'oid yom gadol kolkach. And it was so early in the day, Shehaya Rav Ha'ir, that the Rav of Krems, Shehaya Mehagadolim HaKatmonim, who was one of the greatest early Talmidei Chachomim, who v'kol tovei hakal imoihi, and all the good, strong people of the frum people in the town, halchu l'tayel achar achila shel suda Shabbos shel Sfat hanar damo. They went for a spatzir after dinner by the Danube, the higher chozrim lebeisam, and they got all the way home, kogem halayla, before it even got dark. So I heard that there were rabbonim in Krems, he says, that used to daven so early that they davened, they ate, they shvatsired to the Danube, they schmoozed and they kibitzed and whatever they did, and they came home and it was still not shkir. You heard it here. You heard it here. Now, you'd never get away with that now. And the Shulchan Aruch clearly paskens that it's wrong. The Aruch HaShulchan brings this and says, okay, we don't paskin like this way, but like, you know, people did this. No one's interested anymore. It is way, way, way too early. Okay, let's talk about a few other things before we finish. And then maybe I'll just mention them more outside than reading in the sources. There is an entire debate, which we'll talk about a little bit next time, as to when you count the halakhic hours. Do you count from sunrise to sunset, or do you count from dawn to nightfall? And we are used to this. We often have two zmanim. What is the end of Kriyat Shema in the morning? There's the Magen Avraham zman, which everybody is like, wow, that sounds a bit early on Shabbos morning. I don't like the look of that. And then there's the Gro, which is, oh, Baruch Hashem, we'll go like the Gro. Okay, it's a little bit later. The Magen Avraham is starting early, and therefore even though his Shas zmanios, his halachic hours are a bit longer, he starts so early that he ends up being an earlier zman. Do you have to be concerned for that? Because if you go like this Magen Avraham, that you start early and end later to calculate, then Plaga Mincha won't help you. Because Plaga Mincha ends up being more or less when the regular candle lighting time is. And that's another reason why people say we don't like making early Shabbos. Because if Plaga Mincha really is the Magen Avraham calculation, where you start early and end later to get your halachic hours, then it's just too late. It's way too late. And therefore, you know, why would we even do this? We don't gain anything. Now, is that right? Do you have to worry about that calculation? So there's an interesting fellow, a Rav, that wrote a book called The Great Zmanim Debate, called Rav Aaron Notis. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I heard him on a podcast when I was in America just now. A very good podcast called Sforim Chatter. Someone made people listen to it. Anyway, they interviewed him about his book. And he goes through the astronomy and all of the different shitot. And he says, look, this idea of counting from the earliest till the latest, this what we call the Magen Avraham. First of all, he says the Magen Avraham only said this for Kriyat Shema in the morning, because it's Doraisa. He didn't say this for other times. Okay, where that comes up, for example, on Erev Pesach on Shabbos. How early do we have to finish our chometz? You know, going to be machmir for this? He says no. He never said it for that. And he said, if you look in the Levush and the Vilna Gaon, they completely dismiss this as being a complete error. They say it's just astronomically wrong. It's not this rabbi that says this or me. The Vilna Gaon says, because what? Because you have an equinox. What's the equinox? What does equinox mean? Equal day and equal night. It says the equinox, the way that you calculate the Zmanim is based on the astronomy. It's not some abstracted system. And on the Tkufot of the equinox, in the March and the September equinox, the day and the night are equal. And if you calculate from sunrise to sunset, Taka, they are equal. But if you calculate from dawn to nightfall, they're nowhere near equal. So Vos is an equinox. There's no such thing as an equinox. You're going to say, well, they don't have to be exactly on that. It just dismisses it. It says, no, you don't have to be worried for it, and therefore I'm not telling you what to do. And clearly other poskim are worried, but this fellow was very dismissive. He said, look, it's just astronomy is wrong. He wants to say that the Sephardim in the Middle Ages had much, much better astronomy than the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim living in Northern Europe in the 12th, 13th, 14th century were, you know, they didn't really have the Greek Masorah on this. The people living in Morocco, in Babel, they had a real astronomy. Maybe they could see the stars better, I'm not. It doesn't quite work, because even if you're living in France, you can see when the day is equal to the night. You know, Rabbeinu Tam sitting there in a field in Perpignan, wherever he's living, can just spend one day in the middle of March or September, sit outside and look, you know, okay, they didn't have a watch, they had a sundial, okay, it was always cloudy. You know, you can try and work out whether this kind of fits or whether it doesn't really fit. Anyway, a couple of other things before we finish. Even if you make early Shabbos, you still have to say the Shema again after it gets dark. If you're a man, if you're a woman, you don't have to, but it's not. There's no reason not to. But if you're a man, you have to say the Shema. We do not rely on those opinions that say you can say the Shema already from plague, and the Shulchan Aruch brings down you have to say the Shema. What about starting a meal in the Zman for the Shema? That's an interesting thing. There's a halacha that says that in the half hour before Nacht, when you have to say the Shema, a man shouldn't sit down and make kamotzi because he's going to forget to say Kriya Shema. Now, where does that leave your early Shabbos? You know, your husband goes to shul, makes early Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, everything's there. He comes out, he goes, oh, I'm sorry. It's actually now within the half hour's man before the Shema. We're going to have to wait for 40 minutes before we make Hamotzi. Like, what was the whole point of making early Shabbos? The kids are crawling up the walls. Okay? So, do you have to be choshesh for that? So, if you manage to get in early before that half hour's man, then it's fine. Then you can say Shema at the end of the meal. I always put my watch on my, if I make early Shabbos, on my other arm, so that it's a reminder. You can put something on the table, says like, you know, say the Shema or something, that's good. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that if your family's going crazy, and it's everyone's upset, and it's Shalom Bayis, then okay, you can start the meal within that half hour. But then he says, really, you should keep your eye on the time, and as soon as this man comes, you should say the Shema in the middle of the meal. Because you started really, like, in the wrong time. But okay, if Shalom Bayis, that's okay. A couple of other things. There is this whole Aruch HaShulchan I brought you in source number 29. There were people that said they didn't want to say Kiddush in the first half hour of the night. Why? Because of planet Mars. Mars is rising in the astrology. And therefore there were people who used, he said, in the non-Jewish world, used to sit and cry in the first half hour of the night, because it was a dangerous time. Mars is the god of war. It's a dangerous time. It's a time of danger. And he says, there were people who said, maybe we shouldn't taka say Kiddush during that. He goes absolutely ballistic. And he says, like, no way in the world you are going to tell me that I can't make Kiddush because Shum, go and sit there and then cry because Mars is rising. We're not subject to the stars in that way. And therefore, he completely dismisses it. Okay, last couple of things. What about eating your meal while it's still Friday? Okay, I brought in Shabbos, I accepted the Kedusha, that's great. But am I Yotzeh the Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos? I have to eat three Sudas on Shabbos. And does it count if one of them is on Friday?
Is it when you start?
Is it when you start? So certainly if you finish and it's already dark, everybody's happy. But what if you finish already earlier? Look at the rabbi in Krems, who had already finished and gone for a walk and come home. So the Mishnah Berurah says, look, it's better to have a Kazayas at least when it's dark already. Maybe Kazayas of bread is even better. But usually, I find even when we make early Shabbos, the meal schleps on easily so that it's already dark. But maybe you can keep an eye on that. A couple of other things. Can you ask a Jew who has not yet been Makabel Shabbos to do things for you when you've been Makabel Shabbos? This is very, very common. And the answer is, absolutely you can. And everybody agrees on that. And it's more lenient than a non-Jew. If I accept early Shabbos, I can't ask a non-Jew directly to do things for me because it's called a mirah l'akum. I'm not allowed to ask non-Jews directly to do things and benefit from them. But that's because this non-Jew doesn't have his or her own Shabbos. They're just part of my Shabbos. But another Jew who has a completely different valid definition of when Shabbos is starting for them, it's just not Shabbos. They have an independent Shabbos. And therefore you can for sure ask, as long as it's not obviously when they're meant to be accepting Shabbos, but you can ask a Jew to do malacha for you when you've brought in Shabbos early. I used to have the job when I was living in London as the gabbai of the shul to find a non-Jew in the street on Shabbos afternoon to turn on the fans that the caretaker always used to turn off, and we were schwitzing in the shul. And you try to find someone who you know is non-Jewish walking down Hendon, you know, the street on Shabbos afternoon. I had so many examples where people said they were not Jews and they were Jews. Whatever, it doesn't matter. The last question, just before we finish, the last question, because it's nearly time, is what about women? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. It's the last source on the sheet. I'm not going to read the whole thing through, obviously. But Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he's asked, if the husband accepts Shabbos early, does the wife have to as well? And this was your point before. And he says basically, no, she does not have to accept Shabbos early. She can do her own thing. She said, it's better if she's doing malachas for him that she doesn't do them after he accepts Shabbos. He says, but even that's a bit of a chumrah. And the Shemira Shabbos Kilchasa says, like, it's not really, you know, exactly right. And he says, but when he gets home from shul, already it should be like a Shabbostic atmosphere. And then he says, but it could be actually that this is completely different if the community accepts. Let's say you live in a town, and there's one community in the town, and that community accepts early Shabbos. This is a very important point. It may be then that you don't get a choice, because the Shulchan Aruch says that you are dragged after the community in the town. There's one shul, they make early Shabbos. You can't make late Shabbos then, necessarily, unless maybe there's a very good reason. But in most places that Jews live, there are at least two shuls, the one they go to and the one they don't. And therefore, if one of those shuls is making early Shabbos and one of those four shuls is making late Shabbos, so then you're good to go. Yes.
What about the commandment you should not add and detract from the Torah?
Okay, so that only... I understand, but that only applies in a situation where the halachic system doesn't encourage you to do that. You could ask that about every derabbanon. The rabbi said, I have to now light Friday candle. Well, the Torah never said that, so why are you adding on? No, the part of the Torah system is to accept the rabbinic law system. It's one of two of the 613 mitzvahs. So the Torah only says not to add on when there's no legitimate reason for adding on. You just want to have Shabbos on Sunday as well. But when there's a whole mitzvah to add on, there's no problem to add on. And then Rav Moshe just finishes and he says, maybe the whole thing of adding on early Shabbos is not the way that they talked about it, because we're just doing it for convenience. We're not doing it because we're holy. We're not doing it because we want more Kedusha in our lives. We're doing it because it's just, you know, like, annoying to eat late. He says, and maybe then, like, who said the wife is Bichlal dragged into that at all? He wants to do that because it's convenient. Fine. She wants to keep on doing malacha because it's convenient for her a bit more. Fine as well. Yes, last question, then we just go.
Anything was mentioned, we have to say Shema on Friday night.
Yes.
But we don't have to say Kiddush again Friday
no.
night.
No, because Kiddush depends on Shabbos, and you've made Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos. Okay, we'll end there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.